If you got your Bibles, you want to be turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We'll try to take a reading lesson there for something the Lord's laid upon our heart, and something I've never saw before. I'm sure everybody else has. Seems like it takes me a long time to see some things that everybody else just takes for granted and knows. But I'm a little slow, I guess. Catching on, maybe, but the Lord can show me things, and I'm thankful for that. Once again, I'm not a very smart man, but I'm thankful that the God of heaven knows all things, and He can show us stuff.
Amen.
But we want to take a reading lesson there, and like I said, I don't know exactly how this is going to go. I just know I got a thought. Jesus was left alone. And that's your thought. Jesus was left alone. And I pray that we'd be able to get that out in a way that God receive honor and glory. Amen. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting Him, and that they might have accused Him. But Jesus stooped down with His finger and wrote on the ground, and as though He heard them not. And when He continued asking, and when they continued asking Him, He lifted Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone. And when the woman standing in the midst, and when Jesus had lifted up Himself, He saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where art those that thine accusers? And hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I want to read one more verse, and because I want to, if the Lord be willing, we may read on in this later on if He gets us back here. But it says, Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's one of the mistakes we made reading. That's reading down to the 12th verse from the beginning of the chapter. And we find here, as TJ said earlier, these are very familiar scriptures. Most people have probably read them or heard it preached on before. Some may be here that hadn't. I've heard preachers say that all my life. This is very familiar. And I was like TJ, a lot of stuff I've heard preachers say that about, I didn't know nothing about, and didn't know as much about this as I thought I might have known. But like I said, our thought comes from ninth verse. It says Jesus was left alone. And I begin to think about that. I looked and read all this, and I find here that said the woman was still standing in the midst of Him. And then we find that we go on and talk. I read that there, and I made sure I read that verse to you, that He went on continued teaching. So I want you to understand something here today, and the first time I'd ever noticed it, He wasn't alone there by Himself. But it said Jesus was left alone. He told them when they brought this woman to Him, they said she was caught in the very act of adultery. And they said, What commandest thou to be done unto her? And He told them, He said, He was that sin that is among you, let him cast the first stone. And I guess I've never been able to see how before the only one that was left there alone, and the reason it said Jesus was left alone, he was the only one there among them without sin that was able to cast the stone. And I want you to realize I've never seen that before. I've never even heard nobody talk about it before. But that's what it meant when it said Jesus was left alone. He was the only one that was able to cast the stone. And he asked them when he rose up and he saw her still in the midst. He wasn't alone there by himself. She was right there with him and all the other people still in the temple with him. I want you to realize, but he was a man left alone, the only one that was able to cast a stone. And he said, do they condemn you? And she said, no, man, Lord. And he said, I condemn you. I also do not condemn you. He told her to go and sin no more. And I want to tell you, that began to bless my heart more to think about that he was able to do it, could have very well done it, but he didn't. We find over in the third chapter of John, where it talks about where 3 and 16, where God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I want to quote all three of them. I can't quote all three of them. Well, let's go over and read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I wanted to read that one there too, because we might get to that here in a little while. But it said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And once again, we realize that Jesus was, I want you to understand this. I want to talk about the condition this woman was in, and I believe these men were in also. We live in a world today where everybody runs to Matthew chapter 7 and says, judge not that ye be not judged. Listen to me, we're not to carry out judgment, but we're still to use a judgment and concern it between right and wrong. If you don't believe that, then tell me what you're going to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for that matter. Chapter 5 deals with a fornicator where Paul said he had already judged. He said, such a one you should put out among you. He had took his father's wife. So listen to me. Paul said, I've judged this matter already. A word of use judgment. Well, it's the church. I want you to understand today, we need, when people do wrong, we do not put people outside the church because for what they've done wrong. We put them outside the church for they weren't willing to repent. In the sixth chapter of that same 1 Corinthians, there was two that went to the law with one another. And Paul said, ain't there anybody among you that can judge? He said, know you not that we'll judge angels? So understand today, we have to use judgment. But I want to tell you something. You need to be in shape to use that before you go and do it. Amen. You ever heard people live in glass houses shouldn't cast stones? Well, guess where that come from? He told them, he said, he that among you who is without sin, cast the first stone. And that's where that saying come from. So many times, have you ever had anybody come to you and judge you and talk to you about something that they didn't agree that you've done, and you're sitting there knowing they're doing the same thing? Have you ever been that shape? I have. I've had people come to talk to me before, and me knowing good and well, I'd seen them in the same places they'd seen me at, me knowing they're guilty of the same thing. And you say, well, Brother Jeff, you should be telling that. Well, listen, when I was younger, I'd done a lot of things I didn't agree with. But I want you to know something. When you go to somebody to talk to them about something, you don't need to be guilty of the same thing. And listen to me. You need to get yourself into shape. You need to come to them. And if you're going to talk to them about it, tell them you've been there. Tell them you've been where they're at. Let them know how the God of heaven can help them and the church can help them. But don't you go and condemn them just because you can. I think Romans chapter 2 deals with all that, what's going on. I've heard different ones say what Jesus wrote in the ground there. I don't know what he wrote in the ground, and neither do you. But listen, I can tell you one thing, what he wrote down there and what he said unto them, it convicted them in their own conscience. In other words, they knew they was guilty. And said they went out from the eldest unto the least. I want you to know the oldest one there apparently was the smartest one there. He caught on pretty quick and he left out. And then the younger ones begin to catch on. Hey, I'm guilty of this too. And they begin to leave. Paul said in Romans chapter 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them that which commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, this doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Listen to me. When you go to somebody, you better make sure you've got yourself in the right shape to do it. I've been guilty on both ends of it. I've been sent out on committees before to go talk to people that I know good and well. I'd done the same things before in my past, and before I could go talk to them, I had to get things worked out. I want you to know, I've had people tell me, how do you preach on something that you've been guilty of before or you're guilty of before? I want you to know, if I couldn't preach, if I had to go through there and pick the sermons out that things I ain't been guilty of, there would be a very few of them I'd get to preach on. So what do we do then, brother? It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. Before we stand behind this pulpit, we've got to get ourselves cleaned up. We got to do the best we can. And I want you to know today, before you go to judge somebody else, you better make sure you've got your own house in order. Because if you ain't got your own house in order, you start throwing rocks, it won't be long. Your glass house will be breaking all around you. So Jesus was left alone. He is our measuring stick.
Amen.
A lot of people, they'll measure themselves up to somebody. And I've got people I look up to. You better believe I do. I look up to Marty Meder. I look up to Barry Bronner. I look up to Brother Don Curtis. I look up to a bunch of y'all. I do. I've got men that I look up to, and I've tried my best to. I want to do as well as what they've done and all this, but listen to me, all them men fail too. They're all just men. Jesus is our measuring stone, our measuring stick. And what I love about all this situation, that he was the one that could have cast the stone, but he chose not to. There's so many times through my life that I failed him miserably. I want you to know, there was one time I was a woman, I was a Pharisee that desired him, named Simon, that wanted him to come to his house. He wanted to eat with him. And when he got there, this woman that was a sinner had heard that he was going to be there. So she came, and she began to fall, and she brought anointed oil with her.
And she brought a box of it. And she came and she fell down at his feet. And she began to wash his feet with the tears of her eyes. And she dried them with the hairs of her head. I want you to know that that same man that invited him to his house said, if this man be a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this is, because she's a sinner. I want you to realize today that Jesus knows what we are, and he can't condemn us. But just like with her, he could have told her to get away from him. He didn't want to have nothing to do with a woman of this time. I believe this woman was an adulteress. I believe she is known all over the city there of Jerusalem of being so. But Jesus had shown mercy and he showed grace. He didn't condemn her. Oh, you want to know who he condemned? Hey, he got on to old Simon. He said, I've got somewhat to say unto thee. He told him, he said, if you can forgive somebody a 500 or a bunch, or you forgive somebody a little, he said, who would love you the more? He said, well, the one you forgive the most. He said, you've answered right. And this woman, since she's come in here, or since I've come in this house, she's washed my feet with the tears of her eyes and dried them with the hair of the head. She is anointing my head. You ain't done none of these things. All you've done is said and judged. And I want you to know we need to be careful about how we judge. How many stones could he have cast at me through my life? There's been so many times that I failed him. And I still fail him. And don't get me wrong, he told her, you go and you sin no more. He didn't condone her sin. And he don't condone mine. And I want to tell you, if you're his child, you'll pay for what you do wrong.
Amen.
But I also say this. When it comes to condemning, we have no business doing that. That ain't our job. We're to use judgment, but we're not to condemn. It always comes home to us. You'll reap what you sow. You'll be on the phone one week talking about so-and-so over there and what he's got into, or his child's got into, or what his wife is doing, or what he's, you'll be on the phone one week doing that. Back and forth with everybody in the country, just back and forth, just running them down. Or you might be one of those that's talking about every church, every error they've got, and everything they've done wrong. What all they've took with, they're just adulterers, they've took up with the world, they've done everything. You'll be just tearing them down in the ground, condemning them in every way you can. Casting every stone you can. And you know what'll happen to you? In a couple of weeks, it'll be your son, your daughter, your wife, you, your church. And then you'll be saying, boy, I wish I could pick them stones back up.
Amen.
I wish I'd been a little more careful about how I condemn my brother and my sister. Our greatest example in everything is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And once again, I'm not saying everybody gets caught up in that judge not, you be not judged. Listen, Jesus called sin, sin. When he went into the temple, he arrived there in Jerusalem. He come there and he rolled in and they put palm leaves out in front of him. He rolled in and they said hallelujah to the king. And he went into the temple, and the first thing he went into the temple, you know what he done? He turned over tables. Madder than a hornet. You can say, well, he wouldn't. He was a. You can be angry and sin not.
That's right.
He told him, he said, my house should be a house of prayer.
That's right.
And you've turned it into a den of thieves.
That's right.
He was upset.
Yeah.
You can say what you want. He wouldn't have turned the tables over if he wasn't upset.
Right.
And he had a righteous judgment. So don't tell me he couldn't judge. He didn't come to condemn. He looked like to me he was condemning pretty hard right there to me. He was letting them know they was wrong. But he done. He was able to cast a stone. That's the difference between us and God. He was left alone to be able to do it. Me and you can't do it. You don't think God don't get angry? He got angry to a point one time that he repented him to even made man.
Right.
And he said, I'll destroy him.
Right.
And he caused a flood to come across the earth, but Noah found grace in his eyes. Even when he was angry, he still showed grace and mercy. That's our example. We're never to be jerks. If I ever get turned back over here. So he wasn't there by himself. The woman was there. She wasn't no condition to cast the stone neither. And none of the rest of them that was there that he was teaching in the temple. I want to start reading in that 12th verse where I finished a while ago. Then spake Jesus again to them saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the life. The Pharisees therefore said, and there was the same ones that was sitting there, not the ones that come in with the woman, but the same ones he was sitting there, they went in with the temple. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. You judge after the flesh, but I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father, but I am the Father that sent me. And if it is also written in the law that the testimony of two men is true, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered and said, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. These words Jesus spake in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. I preached on this about a month or so ago. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. He said over there in that 18th verse in the third chapter, I read to you a while ago, so I said I want to make sure I read it. Those who believe not are condemned already. Because they have not believed in the only begotten name of the Son of God. I want you to know, you say, well, then he never condemned. Let me know, he told them they was condemned. And why was they condemned? He said, because they wouldn't believe.
He told them, you shall seek me and you shall not find me. I had a hard time with that for a long time. That's another thing I've had a hard time with, because it says in the Bible, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it says, you shall seek me and you shall not find me. What did he mean by that? They're still seeking him over today, and they're still not finding him. You know why? Because they still believe it's not him. They're still believing it's another Messiah coming, and they won't find him because they've not believed in the only begotten Son of God. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. When they looked through heaven and earth to find one that was able to open the seal, there was only one. He was Jesus. He was left alone. When he hung there on the cross, he hung there and he said, Father, why have you thou forsaken me? It was Jesus left alone. Jesus was the only one that was able to pay the price. Jesus was left alone with the sin of the world on him. Father, why have you forsaken me? It was Jesus left alone for you and me. So don't think he can't condemn you. He can throw the rocks if he wants to. But thanks be to God, he throws grace and mercy.
Amen.
Jesus was left alone. Nobody else. The world was around him. His mama was under him. John was under him. There was different ones there right under the cross. But he was there by himself. Because there wasn't nobody else could do it. And even the Father forsaked him then because of our sin. Jesus was left alone. So when he raised up, he said, where's your accusers? No man condemn you. And he said, no, Lord, no man. And the only one there without sin said, I condemn you not also. Go and sin no more. So be careful about playing God. You'll reap what you sow. I've done it. I've been the one on the phone and talked about somebody else. And then it wasn't two or three weeks later, I was the one sitting there thinking, I wish I could get my stones back. I wish I could get them back. But you can't. You done broke your glass house, ain't you?
Yeah.
You know what you can do? Next time, don't be so quick to judge. Because you know what? He ain't stopped kneeling down and writing in the dirt.
Yeah.
He's still in her consciousness. Brings her guilt to her mind.
Right.
And lets us know you're guilty of the same thing. Old man. That's what Paul said. Old man, thinkest not that you judge and you're guilty of the same things? I hope somebody gets something out of this. I'm thankful that he was the only one there that was able to throw a stone and he chose not to.
Amen.
But don't think when you stand in front of him, he won't condemn you. If you know him not, he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew ye. The Bible says that in that day they'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of one that sits upon the throne. Listen, he come to save. The first time, the next time he comes back, he's going to come back as a lion to destroy.
Amen.
And Jesus alone can do that.
Right.
I'm slow. It took me a long time to be able to see that. But boy, I'm thankful when I did see it. I'm thankful. I pray I learned my lesson from throwing my rocks. And be careful about how I judge my brother and my sister churches. How I judge my friends, my neighbors. That I don't go along with sin, and I don't think we never should.
No.
Jesus didn't.
That's right.
But But I don't think we should go around throwing rocks all the time when most of the time we're all guilty of the same things.
Amen.
That's my message. If you got a song, Brother Johnny, we'll have a song.